talking to Mrs. Floppy after the last watch along, and she was like, "So how'd it go?" I was like, "Oh, me and Ray bantered for like 2 hours. I had a blast, but it was really tiring. I don't think Ray had a good time."
Ray's not doing this for you. Ray's doing it for them.
She was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, they were having fun, I thought, but then maybe they weren't having fun anymore, and then I just kept going. And then I realized we'd been going for 2 hours. And I was like, I probably went too far."
Some behind the scenes context is that I messaged Floppy either the day before or like a little bit previous and said, "Hey,
it was the day before.
Can we be a little bit nicer to each other this week? Like, I'm kind of going through something really big happened in my personal life." And I explained what it was. And Floppy's reaction was basically, "Oh, fuck, that's deranged. I'm so sorry." And we kind of made a peace treaty. And then the peace treaty immediately went away the second that Star Wars was mentioned.
But here's the problem, guys. If I feel like you guys have seen enough interactions between me and Ray. I feel like it's just Ray says something mean or snarky to me, and then I just kind of respond.
Oh, so you're the victim here is what you're saying.
Until Star Wars gets brought up. they brought up Star Wars, and then my eyes went white, and then I couldn't, you know, I couldn't control myself. And the chat, one person would just every now and then say something Star Wars related. They'd be like, "Well, I mean, Anakin's story did kind of suck." And I'd be like, "It did suck."
And then I would have to defend my mans because that's my BPD queen. Beautiful princess disorder.
Oh, okay, there you go. I was trying to make a pun off of like Star Wars being bad.
Well, Padme, beautiful princess disorder.
No, I like Star Wars. Oh, right. But you know what I like more?
Us as a group reporting a podcast together?
I do. Brayden specifically.
Me specifically.
Oh, man.
Does that make Anakin a Disney princess then?
Anakin doesn't count as a Disney princess because there are 3 rules that Disney has that has to be met for someone to be indoctrinated into the Disney princess lore, because there are like literally introductions where they have the people that work in the parks come and all get together and do like a role play basically of that princess getting brought into being a Disney princess. Like, it's a big deal.
Holy shit. I had no
You're
idea.
Right. I do love podcasts. And guess what? This is the Flying the Coop podcast. We are a bunch of individuals united by common interests that have come together to review, discuss, and fight about our favorite content on the internet, which sometimes includes Star Wars. I am Floppy, and we are here to do another one of these things. This is number 2 or number 5, if you know the deep lore.
Don't cite the deep magic to me, which I was there when it was written.
The sacred texts.
Everybody kind of want to say their name when they talk, just while people are still
getting Hammer.
That's gonna be one of Hammer's 9 words, and you're gonna laugh at 7 of them.
Oh my god, it's like that TikTok POV from 2020 where it's like you wake up on your birthday and you only have a certain number of words for the year, and if you run out, you die, and then the girl like uses all the words. And it's like this big dramatic thing because she's saying "I love you" to the boy she has a crush on.
Hey, I have a really random question.
Who are you?
Oh, Brendan! I have a really random question.
Okay.
I thought of this while at work this morning. If you could ask the king of the world, like the secret guy that no one knows about, like we all know God. The idea, basically, Jesus. But like, let's pretend like a real person here.
Uh-oh. We just lost half our audience.
Wait, no, come back. Wait. No, that's not what I meant. But like, if you could ask, like, you know, the secret guy that's in charge.
We call them Ray.
The man behind the curtain. For one, and you can ask him any question you want, and they have to give you an objective answer of the truth. So, like, for me, for example, if I could ask the guy that knows everything, uh-huh, right, like the CIA Black Ops guy, I'd be like, "Okay, are aliens real? What are those UFOs that we keep seeing?" That's what I would ask. And he has to give you an objectively correct, like, real answer.
How disappointed are you going to be when he just says no? That's the only answer.
He wouldn't. He'd be like, "Those are aliens, and all the conspiracies are real." And I'd be like, "I knew it. Woohoo!
Okay.
Antarctica is flat." I'd be like, "No way. I didn't believe that anyways."
Hey,
for sure.
Hey, check out how I do this. Hey, Packy, what's your answer?
Dude.
This is Packy, everyone.
Oh, that's me. Yep. Yeah, that's him. Okay, here's my answer. I want an official written rule. This is how you have to say the word of that fucking sauce. Worcestershire, Worcester sauce, however the fuck, Washer Sister, Worcester? Whatever you're going to call it. I want the official, this is how you say it from now on.
Becky's going to meet God and ask... He he's like, wait, wait, wait. Before I go, I have to go to the grocery store real quick. Okay, that makes sense. Ray, do you have an answer?
Can I just ask why? Like, I have so many why questions about things that have happened in my life.
Well, this isn't God. Well, you know what? Yeah, it is God, actually. You are asking
okay,
God.
So that's real now. Got it.
Yes. So first of all, I guess one of the three religions are right. So that's, you know, you're going to have to deal with that when you get back. Of the three main ones is what I was thinking.
Actually, the golden fun trio. Fact about the three, like the big three religions, Judaism actually has less followers in the entire world than there are black people in the United
Guys,
States.
Guys, this feels fun fact. This what? Feels off the rails of the rails. like somebody pulled that little thing and the train went off the tracks and then it got onto new tracks that we have derailed from.
You guys didn't like my fun fact? God, you suck.
Don't tell him he sucks. You're talking to him.
I honest to God, I would ask why the guy that's my father is my father. Like, bro, why'd you do that?
Okay.
This was not as much fun as I was hoping to be.
Wait, someone put some happy music behind us. Oh, I can scat. Skibbity bop 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 da da bop bop.
Packy, play the opening theme again.
I was just going to put the Seinfeld theme song over it.
That's for death. We haven't got Hammer's answer yet.
All right, here's what I would ask. You ever wonder why we're here?
This sucks. Ooh,
dang. That's actually, like, all jokes aside, that's actually a pretty interesting question to ask God. Like, hey, why are we here?
It is. And then when God answers, he's like, love. Love is the reason you're here. It's to spread love and joy. And Hammer's like, no, but like, why am I here in this room?
Like, why me? Why'd you choose me?
I'm mad because I went to GameStop today and I bought my first physical game in probably 5 years.
That's lovely. That's beautiful.
The guy working there was clearly making fun of me because I bought a Rowlet plush.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
And I was carrying it around the store. And then the other guy, like, they said something to each other, and then one of them just started calling the other one a hater. I was like, oh, they're probably bullying me. And I ended up picking a game, Dead Rising Remastered, by the way. It was like $30 cheaper at GameStop than it was on Marketplace. So I went up and bought it, and he just added, I thought the total was a little weird, and then I get out to my car, he just added the warranty on
without
me.
Asking?
What?
Without
asking. Yep, some of them just do that.
This is why GameStop is going to die.
You know what the worst part is? And this should make everyone's blood boil who's ever been to a GameStop. I also renewed my pro membership.
Oh.
I took the time out because I knew it would help him out to renew my membership. So I was like, yeah, man, I'll do that. No problem. It's like, okay, cool. And he goes, your total is this. He's like, oh, sorry, one second. It's actually this. I was like, okay, cool. And I paid it, got my receipt, walked outside, looked at the receipt, added like $7 for the warranty.
Should have went back in and got your money back.
Was it still cheaper than if you would have bought it on the store?
Oh, yeah, it was still cheaper. And that's the thing. Like, I don't really care. But, like, I took the receipt home, and I was like, I'm going to complain. And I threw it, you know, that didn't happen. I don't.
I used to work at a GameStop.
You did?
I know. It's on your Reddit account.
Hammer, that's amazing.
But we were a good one. We didn't do that.
Fighting the good fight.
those famously good GameStops.
There's a few good ones.
Have I ever told you all the times I used to rob people of their Lego as a child?
No. Confess.
Is this going to be like Jeff and Gus's like Klepto Club thing that we get canceled for?
No. It's nothing too bad. But as a kid, my mom used to go to this church group. And this is like, I don't know, 2011 because Minecraft had just gotten out. So I was these kids that lived at the house that they were meeting at. They were a little bit older and they had this giant room full of Lego. And at the time, I really wanted Lego Stormtroopers because there weren't really any available on shelves at the time. Mm-hmm. And these kids just had tons of the Stormtroopers, so I just started stuffing my freaking pockets full of them. Nice. And I just, like, jingled nice. My way out of there and kept them. And then a few weeks later, one of the kids, because they didn't want me, like, bothering the older kids, because they're like, ah, you're young and annoying, so they just would stick me in the Lego room.
You don't get to learn about God.
Well, no, the kids weren't learning about God. the kids were just like hanging out, but they would stick me in the Lego room and then I'd rob them. But then I think they figured it out. And then one, the one kid's like, hey, you know, if you ever want any of these Legos, we don't play with them. You can just have them. And I was like, well, joke's on you.
They're watching Brendan stuff his pockets and they're like, oh, that's sad.
I stole some from my second grade teacher as well.
Poor kid stealing Legos. Just let him have them.
Hey, do we need to get you therapy? Like, we can make the pod famous and get money for therapy.
Oh my gosh.
I still have them. They're in my collection.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
So we finished Red versus Blue season one. We left off last time. Church had been erased from the series. Ray was shocked.
R.I.P. Chucker.
R.I.P. Chucker. I think Ray immediately knew. Ray immediately knew that Church might come back because it was a video game. I think that was what they said pretty clearly. So, yeah, Brendan, why don't you kick us off? We're starting, if anybody's keeping track, we're going to go through the second half of the season, but we're starting with episode 10, A Shadow of His Former Self. But, Brendan, can you kind of pick us up from where we left off?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess we last Church died. That's exactly what happened last. So this episode opens up with your armor is clean now. And Tucker is like, well, I guess we got to call command and get a new guy because our old leader is dead. So he calls a commander. Or not the commander, the command, which is it's an early version of Vic.
I actually know who the voice actor is.
That's yes, story, yeah. Do you want to go ahead? No, you should mention it. It's a cool fact.
Yeah. So the voice actor for Vic, technically, and I think he was credited at the time as just like Pelican Pilot. It is actually Randall Glass who made something called Warthog Jump. A video that heavily inspired Red versus Blue from Halo 1, where there was no audio commentary. He made it in like 2001, and it was just him doing a bunch of tricks in a warthog. Mm-hmm. And it was super cool, and Bernie and them have talked about how they tried to recreate the tricks and how it was extremely influential. So I have a original season 1 DVD, one of the first 200 that they printed and sealed at Bernie's house and mailed out. So my goal was to get it signed by every single member of the cast. So I found out that Randall Glass has a voice in there as the pilot. So I started combing through different archives, old videos of his, and he would put his AOL email address at the end of all of his videos so you could contact him. And then I eventually found a video from like 2010, and this was like 2020 when I'm doing this, 2021. And I found a Gmail for him. And I emailed, explained what I was doing, told him that he can just like give me a local PO box. I can just ship it there. I'll pay for all the shipping. And I didn't expect a response, but he responded within like 24 hours.
Holy shit.
And it was really cool, except he said no.
Oh, man.
And his reasoning was, I want the first thing that I autograph to be something that I made.
Okay, that's fair.
So anyways, Church comes back. As a ghost. Ooh. He's translucent. He goes, Tucker. I'm not going to actually do the voice. You can watch the episode. Morning. But anyway, so he comes back and, you know, Caboose doubts it, but they find out. And he basically is like, you know, don't let this dude, Tex, come to the canyon. It's bad news. And we get a flashback in one of my favorite sequences from Red versus Blue, and also, in my opinion, one of the most well-made sequences of season one of Red versus Blue. We get the flashback to Church's last outpost in Sidewinder. And when he's at Sidewinder, people are, you know, waiting for some action, bitching about the cold. Tex comes in and kills everyone but Church. And so Church is like, don't let him come here. Bad news. And we also find out that Tex was the reason that Church never got married with his girlfriend back home.
I do think it's important to say too that they were told that Tex, a freelancer, was coming to help them.
Oh, did
and I Church is specifically
that?
Yeah, and specifically Church is warning them to not use Tex's help at all.
I have an idea. I'm just gonna pitch here. I think we should do a popcorn reading, same style we had to do in high school. Like, we all pick each other to go on to the next little verse of the story here.
That's totally fine. I do just want to say my favorite little joke from that is when Church starts telling the story, and he's like, it's like, Jimmy, he's a good kid. And Tucker's like, do you think I was a good kid, Church? And Church is like, Tucker, don't get jealous, man. just listen to the story.
This is the popular joke of like, Tex took out a skull and beat him to death with it. Beat him to death with his own skull.
That doesn't seem physically possible.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite jokes. Like, that's such a, like, a perfect, like, using the game to its fullest.
The yelling bloody murder part.
Bloody murder!
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I will say, for this set of episodes, and we all know how I was last episode, I actually really enjoyed the second half of this season. There are so many jokes that I made a note of, like, oh, I actually laughed.
And it's kind of amazing that they wrote it all at once. Because I do see a stark change from the first half to the second half, because the first half is a lot of quotable stuff that is funny, but I mean, it's the joke per minute feels like it skyrockets in the second half of the season, while still actually developing the story. So Ray, what happens after that?
So season one, episode 11, Knock Knock Who's There Pain, starts with the orange one named Not Jeff, the other dude, Griff, retelling the events of the previous episode to Sarge while Lopez is fixing the warthog, and is like, yeah, that was kind of my fault. And then Sarge is like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Do you know how much this piece of equipment costs? I don't know, like $30?
So we pop back to Blue Base after Griff gets shot because he deserves it, I wish. Tucker is talking to Tex about what's going on, and Tex is shooting at Caboose for target practice and not responding to anything that is being said. We love a bad bitch. And then leaves and goes to kill all the Reds. Back at Red Base, the Red Baby wants Snoke to have his own color armor because he captured the flag. And Gus Simmons says no because you thought you were buying it from a fucking store, dude. Like, be so for real right now. And then Tex, like, throws a plasma grenade at the Red Baby's head. And after much confusion,
the spider,
beautiful, beautiful little Red Baby does not have a good time at all. And then Tex attacks Griff and Simmons and then knocks the one conscious. And my notes for this episode was quite literally, Griff headcanon that he's not stupid, he's just rich and detached. He would think bread is $15 because he didn't know the cost of the warthog.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take.
That is interesting.
These are the kind of takes that I'm excited to get from Ray. And if people remember, same. Ray has not seen Red versus Blue in earnest all the way through, but hasn't seen.
So I think that Griff might just be like a billionaire and we don't know it yet because the man does not know how money works. I think that all these men can't be stupid. Like, everybody here is stupid or angry, and there are more personality traits than stupid and angry. And I think that Griff is going to be really, really rich. And I think Caboose is going to be so smart.
Boy, Ray, you're killing us.
I think it's kind of funny.
I keep thinking you're going to popcorn
it
off.
I was so dedicated to making sure everything about me pissed you off specifically.
No, I'm all for it. I think I just, you know, I was told don't do this because we're going to play popcorn.
We turned the stove off.
And I don't know how to play. I'm scared. So.
No, actually, I broke into Floppy's house and turned the stove on a day that I know Miss Floppy won't be home. But you know whose stove I wouldn't turn on, especially when his partner was home?
Whose?
Packy.
Oh, she loves popcorn. So, taking off from that, We move on to Tex having assaulted the base, mm-hmm. as previously mentioned by Ray.
Right.
So, fun fact about this whole thing. I had so many notes written down, and then the computer that I wrote them all down on just randomly decided to shut off without having saved them. So, I do audio, you guys. I don't do words. I just listen to words and put them together.
There's like a Gavin Free quote about that or something.
You should record your notes.
There you go. Oh. And just play them for the podcast.
Like Packy's Log 412.
Packy's Log episode.
I'll just cut and paste my notes into the podcast. But anyway, so they're watching from Blue Base with the sniper rifle. Tucker makes the comment, of course, that he never gets the fucking sniper rifle, which... poor guy just never does. They're commenting on how Caboose's team killing really works out for them, and all of a sudden Tex enters the base and we hear that the blue team's flag has been returned, the classic audio bit from Halo.
Yep.
And then they turn around, find out that was just Church clearing his throat. And then Church promptly asks, like, hey, how'd you guys get your flag back? And come to find out, yeah, because they trusted Tex to do it, Church Oof, lost my train of thought again.
Do you want to pull up the wiki too?
That's the funny thing. I'm reading it.
Man, they're gonna be like, these guys are just fake fans, man. Mm-hmm.
If we're just, we just read about being fans. We're not really fans. I've never watched this show in my life.
I'm just here for when we do Strangerhood.
I'm still living in the Strangerhood in my head.
We can tell. We can tell.
Oh, man.
Okay, so yeah, cuts back to Red Base. Tex is surrounded by Sarge and Lopez after taking back the flag. Tex is knocked unconscious. Oh, it's just clearly obvious I'm reading this.
Packy's been the fan, I think, the longest out of anyone.
Yeah.
You could just say he's the oldest.
This is gonna be an editing nightmare.
Popcorn to someone else. You can popcorn whenever you want. There's no regulations for
popcorn
this.
Popcorn halfway through the fucking episode. No, I got this. I'm committed now. Alright. Alright, so Tex gets knocked out, and then we find out that Donut is not in good shape, so Simmons sends Griff to go get help. Meanwhile, cut back to Blue Base, and we basically find out that they're like, you know, Church, why are you so upset about this? Tex got captured. Whoop-de-fucking-do. You know, that's the one that stole your girlfriend, made sure you never got married. And then Church drops the bomb that she's the reason that he never got married. And so we finally find out for sure Tex is a girl, and it cuts back to the base. Tex wakes up, and the voice module thing flips out in her suit, revealing her true voice. Cuts away from a joke, of course, with Griff saying, of course, I knew it. Only a chick could give me a headache this big.
A big trope. a big trope.
They didn't use the multiplayer announcer in an episode until season 9 afterwards.
Really? That's actually pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
It's also the first episode Caboose swears.
Are you just reading the facts from the wiki?
Hey, why don't you shut the fuck up and let me feel smart for 5 seconds?
Hey, I'm finding it interesting.
I mean, it was a trope at the time, and it's still, I'm sure, a trope in, like, especially, like, kids stuff, where, like, the badass turns out to be a girl. But this one was done, I think, pretty well, because the clues were there to get you there. And then they kind of have a fun reveal, and it wasn't played for too much of a big reveal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it was supposed to be a major plot point yet, at least.
There is actually some really interesting commentary that happens later in this that I did want to talk about when we get to it. Because the way they treat Tex as a female character versus how they've treated every, like, joke about women existing is very different. And I find it really interesting.
Okay.
That's true. I would love to know why when Church comes back in, and I've always thought about this. When Church comes in and he says, he's like, sorry, that was me. I guess I had something in my throat. And then he's like, yeah, it's me. Hey, Caboose. He's like, huh, sorry, not really here to make small talk. Like, he sounds so depressed. And I don't know why. Yeah, like, I don't know, like, what, like, they didn't really, it's like, did Bernie have a bad day at work? It's like, I just don't.
I it's so sad. I was listening to it literally, like, right before we recorded, and I'm like, he's just like, it's he literally so says weird. It like this. He's like, hey, your flag's back, by the way. And I'm just like, he's dead? Oh no.
But like, he seems surprised, or not surprised, but like, I don't know. It just, cause I agree. Cause it's like, it's either that or like he's grappling with the fact that he's dead. But I don't know. Like, I guess headcanon could be like he's bored in like this afterlife thing. But it's just something that sticks out to me every time I watch it. And yeah, but Packy, I don't think you popcorned.
No, I didn't popcorn, but now you can't see it, but I'm putting butter on the popcorn and I'm giving it to Hammer.
Hammer.
Pop.
Pop.
I'm already full, but okay.
There you go. Classic Hammer humor. you just got hammered, Packy.
Yeah.
Wait, does Hammer have enough words for this?
Can I buy more?
Is Hammer gonna like drop?
Yeah, is his script gonna run out? Or
400 words per episode, but the problem is 380 of them have to be funny. So
try to describe this with as little. I'm actually curious about. I want to see how little words can you use to describe the plot of this next section.
Tex is part shark.
Okay, solid. All right.
Tex from Texas, therefore her name is Texas.
Okay, that's okay. Pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Church is a gay robot.
Me too.
There you go.
Tex part of program, give her AI.
he's devolving.
That's a good one. Okay.
Then she get mean.
Did she get mean?
She was always a bitch, though.
Back at Red Base. Griff wants to know if Tex is really a girl. Tex still intimidates Griff, even as a captive.
I feel like you're adding extra words here. I feel like you could do less.
I feel like I'm reading a book for a second grader right now.
Like a picture book with red versus blue?
What I feel like is like hammers my teacher over my shoulder and I can't get the words out right. And he keeps like, he finishes the sentence that I can't quite like get to.
Blue's plan, rescue.
It's like flipping the page.
That's what it is.
That's the pause. We're actually all seeing an image right now, a colorful little image.
When I make the short for this, it'll just be Hammer's Discord icon when he's talking, and then it's gonna be a still frame from whatever the episode is that he's talking
about. Fuck that, dude. Let's do like crayon drawings to make it look
like that's what I was thinking. Crayon like colored pencils.
Hell yeah.
Tucker Caboose need black stuff.
Okay, here we go. Uh-oh.
The end.
So this episode kind of melted me as a person. It's no surprise that I am a blue. The reds are fun. I just think the blues are better.
Well, you're right.
And when Caboose said, well, I like me, I was driving a car and I was not expecting to love this character even more. And I actually out loud just like, oh.
That's one of the best-selling red versus blue shirts. It's just a shirt that says, I like me. So this is a fun episode. Basically, Tucker and Caboose went through the teleporter to get black stuff on them and make it look like they were freelancers that were hired to attack the Reds. So then Sarge sees this happening. He's like, well, this is going to be a problem. And Griff and Simmons are arguing over the pronunciation of the word both.
To this day, I have never used that word because of that argument.
But yeah, Griff drops an L in there for both.
You sound like such an ass the way you say it.
So yeah, they're interrupted. Sarge basically is like, we need help because we're getting attacked. Church is watching everything unfold. And so he starts getting radioed by Tucker and Caboose. And so Tucker is trying to talk to Church, but Caboose really wants to talk to him. And he just wants to ask if he can say hi to Church. And it's a cute little interaction that starts the romance between Caboose and Church. Ray, what's a good ship name for that?
Kirch.
Okay, Kirch works. All right. So Kirch and Chucker. So then Church goes in. He possesses Sarge. And then he basically has to try to like play Sarge. A funny moment where he spits into his own visor and it's immediately acknowledged. He goes in to rescue Tex, and there is a great Star Wars reference, my favorite Star Wars reference in the whole show, where he says, Texas Church, I'm here to rescue you. And she says, aren't you a little short for Church? He's like, oh, the armor, which is, of course, Luke's line in Episode 4, A New Hope.
Star Wars.
The second best Star Wars movie.
What's Star Wars? Never heard
so,
of it.
He comes out, Sarge is in his armor long enough to just notice the saliva that's bleeding down the visor.
That's so gross. Who spit in my visor?
Church gets back inside of Sarge, they start walking out, and then Tucker looks at Caboose, who's got the sniper rifle aimed at the Red Base, and he says he's going to kill one of the Red members holding Tex prisoner, and then Church will come and forgive him. As they exit, Caboose takes his shot and Church's ghost body still standing up and Sarge's dead body falls to the floor, and then you just get to hear Church get really mad, and then Caboose just ends it with Tucker did it.
Yeah, great episode. I don't know, I mean, oh, great, yeah. Series of episodes, because I don't really know where the division is, because like, oh my god, Church taking over Sarge is still makes me crack up, just like, oh, you're acting kind of suspicious there, other red guy. I think this is a completely reasonable question in the time of war. Ah, geez, the back of my head.
I was wondering at one point if we meet Lopez, because I feel like we haven't actually met him as a character yet at all. And like, he allegedly drove up in the very beginning in the Warthog, and I was like, oh, cool, there's a guy there. And then I felt very like we hadn't gotten enough Lopez yet.
Oh, we will.
He's kind of like Hammer. He's a quiet guy.
Yeah, I sleep standing up.
And he drinks motor oil, which is kind of
weird.
He's
just trying to impress you.
Oh, man.
But I do want to, like, pose the question. Do you think being possessed by a ghost would feel violating?
They're in my bones.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they're in your body.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, would sure. that be violating?
I mean, it depends on how they get in.
Oh, man. What way they enter, according to Packy.
Okay.
So then what happens, when in the Shadow Realm?
Oh, I have to open up the wiki. Give me a second for episode 15. So we just saw Sarge die. So he's in hell because let's face it. And Church is also there. Sarge thinks that Church is an angel, which like, yeah, because that's my angel. And Church keeps trying to charge Sarge money to end up in heaven. And it goes from $10 to $5 to I think like two or three at the end. Eventually Sarge, because he is loved by Jeff Griff, he does get to go back to the world because he got CPR for his headshot wound.
Yeah, bullet wound in the head.
And somehow that worked. This did have actually one of my favorite gags of the entire season when Church and Sarge are standing there talking and Griff and Simmons are talking about like, oh, give him CPR because Church is like, I'm leaving. And just the very quick nature of the entire presentation of the joke was so funny to me that it was the first like actual full laugh that this season got from me.
I have to say, I've had three people ever since I started doing like TikTok, YouTube stuff. Three people have asked me this question, one on Discord, one on YouTube, and one DM'd me on TikTok to ask. They said, hey, what does the joke from season one mean? And it was the joke from this episode. And it's where Church says, Church talks about how he's an angel. And Sarge says, hold on, if you're an angel, how come you ain't got no wings? And the Church says, because nobody rang a bell. It's just, it's a wonderful life. Because it's, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
An angel gets wings.
I guess that's just not something that like people, but I was sure it's the only thing anyone's ever asked me about Red versus Blue. And it's that joke specifically.
Growing up Jewish, I just kind of thought that like, oh, this is probably a Christian thing. And I moved on.
I mean, like 20 some years ago, people probably would have got it, but
I thought it was some sort of Red Bull reference or something. Honestly, I'm being genuine.
I will say it's got my least favorite line in the whole season, or my least favorite delivery. And I think Matt's extremely talented, but the delivery or the editing or something where he goes, well, I'll be a monkeys.
Oh yeah.
They saved me. Like, it's just so, it's so weird in a season where I feel like everything else is like so well done. It just kind of, it's again, it just hits the ear wrong for me.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, I thought his joke about, I never got to tell him he's my son, the whole thing about him and Griff. It's like, what? No, I just wanted to screw with him one last time. I thought that was fucking gold. That was so good.
Not a bad episode. I think everything, all the other episodes are just better.
Well, and I will say, it doesn't help that it's surrounded by a lot of really good episodes. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like this one dips. It almost feels like a 0.5 kind of episode.
But I would really love to hear Packy speak up a little bit about this one episode. Next.
Oh, I like this one.
Uh-huh. We'll see.
As I like me.
The next episode, we get to see Donut come back finally in brand new shiny armor that he got because he captured the flag, right? That's what we're all going with. But he comes back with this strangely different colored armor. That,
what color is it?
It's like a lightish red.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's pink. So after he gets ribbed for, you know, having lightish red armor, Sarge walks in and with a nice little, and a fine day to you, madam. Also poking fun at his armor. Donut also had shown up with a speech unit finally for Lopez, and this is where we find out that Lopez is actually a robot. And Simmons warns Sarge that he should probably ground himself before trying to install it because of the static. And Sarge just claims that to be some kind of a weird conspiracy theory. And then as he's installing it, gets a little shock. And we come to find out that possibly because of that shock, more than likely, for some reason, the speech unit decides to only translate his speech into Spanish. And something I thought was kind of interesting, at least for this episode, if you're watching it on YouTube with the captions on, it actually translates Lopez's speech.
Does it really? Oh, wow.
Only for that one, because in a later episode it just popped up and said Lopez speaks in Spanish. So I guess I don't know if they did that intentionally, just trying to preserve the joke of it, you know. But we finally get to hear Lopez speak, and Griff thinks he understands him because he says his name is Lopez.
I love the, and this will become a running joke of, for some reason people speak to Lopez in like the loud drawn out stuff, as if like, oh, if we talk slow, this is literally a joke, like, why are you talking slower? Yeah, he understands us just fine. And then but like, it's Sarge there. I quote so many Sarge things, like,
maybe you should try
listening. I will literally say so much, because I will say the phrase, well, this is just dandy, exactly the way he says it in here all the time in normal life. Like, Lopez, speak a language we can understand. Like, it's so dumb. The fact that they're like, well, if we speak in slower English, obviously this will work.
So at one point, Caboose says, like, don't make me mad. And I am going to ask a yes or no question for you guys, as somebody who has never seen this. Do we get to see Caboose get mad at something?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. My note for this is literally, I want to see Caboose get mad.
It results in one of Caboose's most quotable lines, too.
Bernie basically said the way he wrote Caboose was that he was the only one who knew he was in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, like, and it's not like 100% like through all the seasons, like, perfect, but it is funny if you just go in with the understanding that Caboose.
I mean, it's not canon for this. Like, but it's just the concept. It's like the idea.
It's not canon. Sometimes. No, it's definitely not canon. It's like what would someone who, and it's, again, it's not like he comprehends all of that. He just understands that, like, we're in a video game.
That does track.
That's about it.
That does track a little bit from the, I think it was a previous episode, a point that we actually kind of glossed over when he was standing behind the rock and he said, they can't see me. I can't see them. That's like total video game logic, you know?
This episode actually made me not think like critically about anything, but it was the final interesting character development that I needed to like start making actual headcanons about any of the characters. So besides like, you know, Shocker. But my headcanon from this episode is that Caboose is useless, but he would go crazy at a drag show. And Donut is useful, but he would be boring at a drag show.
Huh.
Let's revisit that take later.
Let's see how that one holds up.
It's also, we get to see Lopez speak for the first time, and I was very excited because A, I realized, oh, I remember a lot more Spanish than I thought I did. And I was happy to actually meet his character versus like seeing him or having him be part of a joke.
At this point, everyone watching the episode, I need you to pause and I need you to go to the wiki, because that is the second trivia fact. And I don't know if Ray did that on purpose or not.
Am I remembering it right too, that to get Lopez's dialogue, they literally just put the English phrase in a translator and read that?
Google Translate, I think, right?
Some of it listens that way, yeah. Like, there's a couple of times where I was like, oh my God, stop, please stop.
I thought it was Bernie.
It is Bernie.
Well, I think it is, but they got the translation from...
Oh, you're just saying the...
Yeah, and just like the Strangerhood, Bernie's doing the foreign guy's voice again.
Yeah, that's true. Bernie's the foreign guy again. Man, Ray, do you want to corn some pop?
What?
Wait, it was Packy's turn.
Yeah, I need to popcorn over to Brendan.
This is a pretty light episode, honestly, anyways. Basically, we go back to Blue Base, and they're just discussing how Tex is, you know, free from imprisonment, and that she basically owes the Blue Guys a favor because they've freed her from a life of imprisonment, I guess.
Right.
So they're like, okay, well, can you fix the tank? And Tex is like, yeah. So Tex goes and flips over the tank, which is another big Halo joke, because it's like, how is this guy flipping a tank? Then, I'm just like Packy.
Oh, no.
Aha.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah. So they're going to fix the tank. Lopez is still speaking Spanish. That's kind of all that's going on in the Red Base. And then Church goes up on the like hillside to get a better view. And that's where he finds his body. Which I find that a little funny bit, because he's like, why don't you ship it off to the you know, the loved ones can pay their respect. And he's like, well, Tex, do you have anything to say? And Tex just turns around and keeps working on the
just
tank, which always
nothing at
up.
All. Yeah.
And he's like, why didn't you dig me a grave? And he's like, what do you want us to do? Shoot you a grave? It's, again, a bunch of jokes that I've heard them like 20 times and they still just still make me laugh.
The way Jason delivers Tucker's lines, even from season one, are just, he just captures that "I'm just fucking done with you" kind of tone in his voice, and I love it so much.
So I'm gonna pop on over to Floppy.
So yeah, they want Church to basically possess his own body the way they did with Sarge.
Yeah, they roping in Tucker there.
That's true. You're right. So Church basically just gets annoyed because they didn't bury his body. Griff and Simmons are playing a game back at the base. They're basically doing I Spy. It's all rocks and dirt.
It's not just me, you guys.
Brendan, popcorn.
Basically, then Church is like, crap, she's finished with the tank. And they're like, killing the Reds is a good thing. And he's like, no, killing the Reds is not a good thing, because Church basically wants to get the AI out of Tex's head and make Tex slightly less mean again, which is kind of sweet. So basically, Church says, I'm going to do the only thing I can do. I'm going to warn the Reds. And is this the joke? This is where we get the joke of like, should I kill Church? And then Tucker's like, tell you what, kill me. I promise I won't come back. Yeah. And then so Church is going to go warn the Reds. And then we get one of, I say this a lot, I love Red versus Blue. We get another one of my favorite interactions with, look at this. No, they have a girl. What? A girl. And it's like the pink armor. And then we get Tex, yeah, who's like, hey, you guys know I'm standing right here and that I'm a chick. Yeah, but when we mean a girl, we mean a girl. And what the hell does that mean? Nothing. I love the show. Swear to God, top five of all time. It's so funny. That kind of leaves us off. And they basically deduct, though, like, oh, man, if she overheard us talking at the cliff, then crap, she may have heard the plan to overthrow the Reds. And then Caboose is like, I have a great way to find out. And just blatantly asks Tex if she heard the secret plan for Church to warn the Reds. And then Tex does not respond and just gets in the tank.
And something cool about this one, too, is that Jeff actually said the I Spy part was his favorite Red versus Blue moment. He basically said it was like basically what happened when he was in the army. Them just, damn it. hey, you at home? That was for you.
I want to make a quick note before I pop to someone. And this is talking about the next. First of all, last episode, great, amazing episode. Second of all, I love what we're on the final episode now, and it's one of my favorite things that any show can ever do.
Okay.
The very first scene of the last episode is a replica of the first scene of the first episode. And I just always love when stuff kind of goes full circle like that. It's one of my favorite narrative things ever, specifically within a season. You know, you have them basically go, you ever wonder why I'm here? And Griff just goes, no. I never wonder why we're here. I love that full circle moment. Great, directionally great.
I especially like that in the first season too. Just in the off chance that like this is all they were ever going to do, it just, like you said, it just full circles and wraps it up. Right. Really nicely.
It's something I personally would love, you know, if I ever get the gift to be able to create like stories or anything like that, that's something 100% I would like to implement.
I want to go back to episode 18 really quick, just because I didn't get to say it, but it's really important to me. And I'm going to do that thing that I do that we all know that I do, which is add way too much depth to something that has no depth. Sorry, I'm going to be a disgusting feminist for a second. As a trans person, part of the battle of being a trans person is getting people to understand that the way you represent yourself does not necessarily equal the way that you feel about yourself or the words that you use for yourself.
Yeah.
And text saying, and what the hell does that mean, was just kind of really nice for me, because they've done like the stereotypical women jokes and they were mostly all funny. Like, I did enjoy it. And to have two guys be like, oh yeah, but a girl, and to have somebody who is a girl be like, and what the hell does that mean, and have them back off, was just kind of nice to have.
I don't want this to sound bad, but like, I think they took a risk with introducing the female like badass. Like, I think they could have easily done that badly, where it would have just been like, because you said it was like a big trope, especially like early 2000s and the 2000s as a whole. And they just like, they wrote text to fit in with this world so well that she still has her own jokes and stuff. She's not overtly serious all the time, especially, you know, like later on in the Blood Gulch Chronicles, especially like season 3 and 4. So I just want to give props to them for not, like, you know, fucking that up.
If on purpose or not, they subverted gender roles in a way that, like, actually is meaningful over 20 years later by having that identity and expression not being the same.
And then they followed it up with the R word.
Okay, well, we're up to 4 on the score count for
this
season, so.
did you like how we all gave you the proper, like, your opinion matters? Everybody's been everybody's been reading their company manuals, I see.
As the diversity hire, you know what? I'm going to go tell HR to give you guys some Bravo points, and I hope that you get your $25 Amazon gift card.
Can I buy more words with those?
You can, Amber. Ray, all of us have company manuals. Ray has a company pamphlet that just says, "You're right." Hammer, round us out. Take us home. How does season 1 of the hit series Red versus Blue end?
Well, there was the similar to the start of the season, like we talked about. Church possesses Lopez, which means he can only speak Spanish.
Which, don't even know how that makes sense.
I do love how it completely confuses Church, though, because he could never speak Spanish before that.
Yeah, I don't know Spanish.
Oh god, Hammer died.
Oh, my mic was muted.
He ran out of words.
Because I learned how to do that now.
Hammer, you got this.
Nice.
You got this.
Hammer's coming into us like, over. What happened next was, they're in Blood Gulch, over. It's like, Roger that, Hammer. What happened next?
All right, well then after that. And then.
Oh my god, bro. All
right, so Caboose suddenly decides to go by the name O'Malley out of nowhere, while him and Tucker are up doing their thing. Church, the Blues call Church over the radio, but he can still only speak Spanish to them. So Caboose is like, he says he wants to talk to you now.
That's a really funny, like, Caboose, I can't speak Spanish, but he just starts talking in Spanish, and he's like, he wants to talk to you. That's such a funny bit.
Then back at Red Base, Church is unsuccessfully talking to them in Spanish. Then Tex shows up with the tank. And then Simmons and Sarge get in the Warthog to try and, you know, counterattack or defending. This is one of those kind of tricky things they did. Simmons is actually swapped to Red so that him and Sarge can be in the Warthog at the same time. A little behind the scenes thing there.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not, it's pretty, like, they hide it pretty well. Like, it's unnoticeable if you don't really pay attention, so. And then the tank immediately shoots him, which is funny.
And Simmons is like, so now do you want to tell me what the plan was?
I love Sarge's line. If we survive this, I'm going to kill you both slowly.
And then Donut shows up with his lightish red armor, and he asks if it's they talk about how it's the chick in the black armor. And then Donut says he saved something for them and lobs a grenade like halfway across Blood Gulch.
It gives Tucker maybe his best line for me of the season. Man, that girl's got a really good arm.
And don't gloss over my favorite line of season 1 and probably top 10 lines in Red versus Blue. Hey, bitch, remember me? I saved something for you. That delivery goes so hard.
It's Donut's best moment, and I don't know how many more good moments he gets after that. Obviously,
he gets
funny
a ton.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if any top that.
Dude, it's so good. Just him lobbing it, having a crazy throw, bro. It's so great.
Hell yeah, 3 points, you dirty whore.
Oh, I forgot he said that.
If you can count on anybody to top, it's Donut. Jeez.
I like the undertones we have. I like the undertones we have in this podcast.
I love that the Reds are like, Sarge, where's Lopez going? to fight the enemy head on.
Fight the enemy
mano y mano. Adios, Lopez. Adios. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've actually ever witnessed in my entire life.
Isn't that also church running and yelling, Tejas, Tejas.
Tejas, Tejas.
Dude. I mean, season one has the plus of it's the classic season one. And like, the red versus blue as a whole, I think seasons 1 through 10 are hilarious, but holy crap, season one is so funny.
So after that, the grenade explodes, you know, Tex is close to passing away. She tells Church that the AI is gone, the AI that they are trying to get out of her that was making her mean and stuff.
It looks like the grenade must have done it.
Yeah, that's what you'd think, yeah.
What?
And then...
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Did I miss something? What?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Maybe.
What happens, Hammer?
I don't know. It's spreading.
Damn it, Hammer.
They killed my Blorbo, Hammer. How could you forget my baby girl? They ended the episode by making me upset.
We're missing basically the end. Great cliffhanger, by the way. We get the ending scene where Tucker's like, "Ah, crap! Church is gonna be pissed, and now he has a body to kick our ass with. Let's get back to base, Caboose." And Caboose is like, in a deep voice, goes, "I told you my name's not Caboose. It's O'Malley." And then it ends, which obviously signifies that because their radios were on. The AI switched.
What the hell was that?
That's the ending. That's the ending of the season.
Brent didn't even do it right. Because Caboose, in his normal voice, says, "I told you, my name's not Caboose." And then he goes, "It's O'Malley." And he's got a scary voice. And you're like, oh no, the AI has spread.
Mm-hmm. His mean guy voice.
Yeah, so Caboose now has the AI.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and that's how the season ends.
The blue baby
ends. And then
just
it also
mean.
Ends with a great ending song. Wait, I also got to talk about this Tricado.
It's a Tricado.
No, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute, everybody. Everyone bully Brendan right
He's
now.
He's just excited.
I'm sorry.
Tricado.
How do you say it?
Tropicana.
Trocadero.
Yeah, Chocolate Arrow.
Trocadero. Yeah, anyways... The ending song, which I believe is it Valdia? Is that it?
That's what it is, but I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but it is that.
Okay, and that's a great, great song, very somber. I have it on my playlist. It's an amazing song ending for the credits of Red vs. Blue Season 1. Amazing cinema.
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 I think that you guys spoiled the AI thing for me. I think we're not supposed to put that together yet. He made an O'Malley joke earlier in the episode. Like, before Tex was dead, he said O'Malley.
We kind of do, because Tex had the deep voice before, and it's under the assumption that at first was like, oh, just a broken voice box, but that might have been the AI causing Tex to have the deep, scary voice, and now Caboose has a deep, scary voice. I don't know if the connection is supposed to be there, but the breadcrumbs are laid out.
I have not eaten it yet, though.
It's because you're too focused on your babies and all that. Do you, love all your children equally, Ray?
No, John Sims and Martin Blackwood I chew on and throw at walls like they're Barbie dolls. The rest of them, though, I like them.
Well, guys, we made it through Red vs. Blue Season 1, some of us for the first time, some of us through the wiki. And, Ray, I would really like to know, after watching Season 1 for the first, full time again as, I guess, an advanced adult, because I think you were an adult last time.
Over 10 years ago.
Oh, you were a teenager. Well, okay. So then what is your impression of Season 1 and what are you excited? What surprised you and what are you excited about coming forward?
No, but I'm very excited to actually have it confirmed that's the AI for me, because I didn't put those breadcrumbs together, especially because Caboose did make a joke about being O'Malley earlier in the episode. Like, for me, still currently as a watcher, it doesn't make sense for it to be the AI because he made the joke earlier when he didn't have the AI potentially. I'm also just excited to see what happens with Church and the blue team in general. The red team is fun, and I think they're interesting, but they haven't had as much that made me actually, laugh as the blue team did. And for some reason, I just don't find them, my favorite.
So I think people who would be watching would, if they were listening to you in Season 1, you kind of... and for good reason, started out kind of sour on Red versus Blue. You said you watched it like 10 years ago and you thought it was really dumb while you're folding laundry and you just kind of gave up on it. Did you have a better time this time despite it being mandated by the podcast?
I did have a better time this time. And I think the reason that I had a better time was based on what mattered to me at the different points in my life. Like at that point in my life, if something happened that I didn't agree with morally, politically, X, Y, and Z, I would stop engaging with the media. And now 10 years later, engaging with media that doesn't necessarily match the way that I present myself is more fun for me. So it was easier to go into it and be like, okay, this might like say something that I don't like, but I'm still allowed to enjoy it. And then shockingly, it had very little that made me go, we shouldn't do that.
And that only gets better as the seasons continue. Like, yeah. I mean, in the sense it gets way, like season one's easily the worst and it gets significantly lower as it goes on.
I'm just stunned because Ray brought the maturity level of the podcast up like six notches with that explanation. Yeah. It's like, you know, as we consume media with our different outlooks on life, and I'm just over here like, yeah, I don't know. That sounds really good. Let's use all of that.
I will say, I think we got Ray pretty good because they were pissed at us about the spoiler.
I'm still
and
pissed.
Rightfully so. But if you're invested in the story that much, that a spoiler like that is like, oh, well, damn, now I don't get to find that out on my own. I feel like that says something about the story getting to a little bit, to be a little bit more
it definitely
enjoyable
is.
Than like, it was before.
I am actually having fun with it.
I think we should have some sort of poll. Did we spoil for Ray? Yes or no?
Yes.
Because I think it's going to split right down the middle.
As the person engaging agree. With the media, I'm the one that gets to decide and I say yes.
Yeah.
but I definitely see what you're saying because the question is, where was the AI in text the entire time? But I do think just the way they set it up, it was meant to be like a big, like it was Jason like punching out of the grave with his hand. Like it was supposed to be like the moment of, oh, so now the AI is somewhere else.
I mean, the intent doesn't necessarily match the quality of writing in that case.
No. I agree because the O'Malley thing should have been played less as a joke if that's what they were setting up.
Yeah, and in general, I like actually am enjoying engaging with this. Like, I didn't expect to enjoy it. My entire life has been sitting down watching other people play video games, starting with my older brothers and then just never really picking them up myself. And then I heard the voice from Church being like the in-game announcer, and I was like, wait, I have that memory. And so it played on that nostalgia for me in a way I didn't expect it to, because it was like, oh, this reminds me of like sitting watching my older brother play Halo. And I love those memories.
Oh, that's really cool.
I mean, that's really cool. And like, it's cool to connect with something, especially that like you saw and didn't like. I think a lot of us have something like that where we didn't like it the first time we watched it. And then we watched it again. We're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I think we've talked as a podcast. We are going to pick up next week with Red versus Blue season 2. Keep in mind, the way to follow along with us is we watch about 30 minutes of the content each time. So hopefully those of you who find the podcast in the future, you dig it out of the charred remains of, you know, wherever we're buried, then you can kind of watch along. Thank you so much for listening to Flying the Coop. We really appreciate it. We're going to keep putting out cool stuff. We have supplementals with Brendan, our supplemental czar, coming up with some cool ideas for video games. But if you have an idea, please reach out, make a comment, follow, like, do what people do on podcasts. Don't give us money yet.
You should also join Floppy's Discord server.
Oh, you can join Floppy's Discord server. Don't give us money yet. We're not good enough yet.
Yeah, save it up for later.
But
just come play Wordle with us.
Yeah, come play Wordle.
What's Wordle?
It'll be fun.
Come over and give me a give me a kiss. That's what I want.
Okay, well, there you go. Oh no, Brendan's hammer gets one guess per Wordle. All right, bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Oh shit, Lopez.